G'day, Groovers. Welcome to another installment of The U Project. The New Year revolution is what we're about. We're talking to 10 interesting people in 10 days. 10 of my friends, 10 of my smart friends. I've got some stupid friends. They didn't make the cut, so I've just got my smart friends. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
You all right?
That's not very nice.
I do have some stupid friends. I love them, but they're dumb as fuck. I love them, though. You can't just have only smart friends. You got to have a cross section. Otherwise, that's prejudicial. And you know, so I go dumb people, you know, fuckwits, Genie I, Tony Doherty, everyone. They're all in the mix. It's a fucking potpourri of humanity, my friend list. G'day, TD.
It sounds like my gym. G'day, Craig. Melissa, how are you guys? You good?
Yeah, we're great. It is, actually, your gym is a fucking smorgasbord of humanity, mate. It is a, it's its own little culture, your gym.
Yeah, it sure is.
How you been?
Yeah, been good, man. You know, I think everyone's had a challenging year, Harps, but I think, you know, we've learned a lot about ourselves. We've learned a lot about what we can do when, you know, when things are tough. I guess a lot of people have reinvented, you know, their businesses and themselves. But I think the one thing that I've taken away from this 2020 is I'll never fucking take shit for granted again. Mm. You know, like, as you know, I normally travel 6 months of the year, and I haven't traveled since January or February or something. I haven't been on a plane. I'm used to the city being open, and, you know, I live in the middle of the city. There's restaurants and bars and stuff popping all the time. All of a sudden, I'm in the middle of an apocalypse, you know, with everything closer. It's probably, you know, on a deeper level, just made me stop and think I'm just never going to take shit for granted again.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a bit of that, and the stuff that we didn't value, I mean, or we didn't consciously value, we now go, yeah, how, without being too naff, because everyone says this, but how awesome is it to walk, like I live on Hampton Street, as you know, how awesome is it to walk over the road and sit down and have a coffee? Just before this, I was sitting down and I just had some scrambled eggs with tomato and a coffee, and I felt like I was fucking living the high life, and I didn't have a face mask on and there were no cops up and down the street. I'm like, look at me. I'm like Gilligan on his island. This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's good to be able to just be liberated a little bit. So obviously for those who've been living under a rock, Tony owns a bunch of awesome gyms. He's a pioneer. He was the first 24-hour gym owner operator in Australia, and he's, you know, just a grouse bloke, but also an amazing operator in terms of business. How's business now, mate? Because it was a long, dark 6 or 8 months.
Well, it was a funny year, hilarious, not hilarious, funny, fucked up funny. So, you know, we're going along amazingly in, as I said, January, February. I think I went to the States twice, and I got back from the Arnold in Columbus, with 2 weeks to go until our Arnold show, which I'd had 8 staff work full-time on for a year. And 6 days out, it got shut down and cancelled, and the convention centre got locked. So that was like, you know, it was a big kick in the balls. I lost, I don't know, about 700 grand. That's not profit, that's lost, because, you know, you pay your staff and you put up all the billboards and street posters and do all the advertising, the whole budget. You know, we managed... because the convention centre was forced to close, we got at least got our money back from the hire of that, which was another $500,000. I thought, wow, that was an expensive weekend. And then there's obviously the money you don't make to fund the following year and so on. So it was a Sunday night that happened that I think I was just having some shots on the balcony or something, just going, fuck, we should have been celebrating the end of the Arnold. Here I am. And one of my mates rang and said, turn on the TV. So I turned on the TV and there's Scott Morrison saying, all gyms close at 12 noon tomorrow.
Wow.
Whoa. Of all days. Okay. I better get a locksmith, because legit, when, you know, when we've gone 24 hours and because we're staffed all the time, I always tell this story about throwing away the keys, but I really do. So the city gym, we threw them into the Yarra River. Here I threw them, I don't know, into a skip or a car park or a garbage truck or a moving vehicle or something and so on. So called the locksmiths. We're closed for 13 weeks. I think it was actually really good. I think that first lockdown was a great reset for everyone. And we got to, you know, I told you, I pulled the place to pieces. I came in every single day. It was 91 days straight that I kept my routine, came in every day, pulled all the equipment out, polished the concrete floors, and did the insulation, all the things that you can't do when you're open and staff 24 hours. And then We opened up for 2 weeks. It was the best 2 weeks in business we've ever had. Everyone was so grateful to have the gyms open again. They, you know, come out swinging. It was day one, we were packed, and we'd only have 20 people per room. But the way it's set up, that kind of worked. Signed up a bunch of members and just think, okay, everything's going to be okay. And then, of course, we went into stage four lockdown with even less notice. And that was the one that I think really hurt. You know, really, it was really hard, Craig. It was, you know, they said 6 weeks. It went for 141 days.
Yeah.
And by now, I've already renovated the gym. So I'm like, where do we go from here? So what I did, well, you know, I was doing the project I told you about next door for my new event centre. So I did that in the first few weeks. Did a lot of, you know, work on the tools and renovating. And I just found myself, you know, drinking a bottle of wine every night, starting to feel sorry for myself. And, you know, obviously, no income, you know, supporting, I think, 55 families across our five or so companies, me not getting any government support or handouts or anything, just thinking, shit. Okay, feeling sorry for yourself is not going to help. So that lasted for about a microsecond. And I thought, you know what? I always have this saying about think about what you can do, not what you can't do. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to come to the gym every day. I'm going to do an hour cardio in the morning. I'm going to do an hour weights at lunchtime. There'll be no one there annoying me or asking me questions. And then I'll do even more again before I go home. So for me, keeping the routine was the most important thing I could do. So I got myself into the best shape I've probably ever been in or been for a lot of years. Came in every single day again for 141 days straight because for me, and you and I have talked a lot about the science or the lack of science of motivation. Mm. And the fact that, you know, discipline and regularity are the things that matter. So I thought, what matters to me is I still got to get up in the morning and go to work. Mm. And I couldn't stand the thought of, you know, being locked in an apartment or, you know, not leaving the joint. So, you know, I made myself a letter to say I was here running our online store and building our building next door and just did that. And then, you know, I guess a few weeks into it, I decided to take on the fight for the industry to try and get our gyms open again. And I needed a project. I needed to vent. And fortunately, I got some attention from a lot of mainstream media would have seen all the stuff. And I put a couple [S2] Yep. [S1] Of videos up that went stupidly viral and, you know, end up talking to all the government advisors and ministers and right through to the top and the DHHS and all these different things and got a way better understanding of how, well, how dysfunctional all that bureaucratic stuff is, but also just how it works.
Mm.
And I thought, you know, we don't really have an industry body to represent us. So someone's got to do it. I'll just give it a little crack and see what happens. So that became, I think, a bit of a coping thing for me too, to feel, well, I'm giving something back. And obviously, I want my gyms open, but I thought about all those little operators. Yeah, because if this had happened to me 10 years ago, I would have gone under, or even probably 5 years ago. So I thought about all those little family gyms.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? They're not getting any JobKeeper. They're not getting any love from the government. They're not getting any dates or guidelines or whatever else. So basically, I wrote the COVID plan for the government. I think I was the only sector that I spent good dollars getting a director and proper film crew in and did a video on how to keep our gyms safe. And presented that to the government and said, well, you know, you didn't do that. No one did that for hospitality or for retail, but for gyms, even though you think we're high risk, I'm going to show you how we're not high risk and how seriously we take the safety of our members. So
yeah,
I think I just channeled everything into all those little projects and here we are today.
I remember my frustration as well, because we're all human, not being able to go and train and trying to figure out, you know, how the fuck not to turn into a 75 kilo fucking weakling over 8 months of no gyms. And I couldn't go to the gym. And I remember going to down the road to Woolies one day, which is 600 meters from my joint. And there was 13 million people in the store. And admittedly, everyone was, there wasn't, but there was a lot of people and they've got this, oh, you got to stay 1.5 meters apart. I'm like, well, this fucking aisle is 1.5 meters wide for a start. So all I've got to do is walk past someone. And not only can't I be 1.5 meters away from them, I can't even be 1 meter away from them because I'm fucking, I don't know, a couple of feet wide. They're a couple of feet wide. And yep. I go, it's ridiculous. And there would have been, you know, in a space the size of one of your gyms, there would have been 150, 200 people you know, bumping into each other and you know, picking up fruit and shit and putting it down, and someone else is picking it up and putting it down. And yep. I'm looking at all this, I'm going, how is this okay? But we can't go into a gym that's got all everything in place with towels, with all the cleaning stuff, with, like, I saw your videos, they're fucking amazing. And it must, I'm at the far end of the easy scale. You're at the far end of the hard scale with this, but I was frustrated. So I don't know how it didn't do your head in, but knowing you and, you know, seeing you on Credlin and chatting to her and her reaching out to you and, you know, seeing you kind of go from 0 to 60 in a short amount of time with gathering support and attention and sharing the message. I mean, it didn't surprise me because I know you, but if you didn't have that outlet and if you didn't do that, you could have fucking blown up, mate.
You might have killed someone. But, you know, you're right. Look, I was fortunate though, the best home gym in the world, but I had similar experiences where I go into Coles or Bunnings or some of you, there's a million people in there, no contact tracing, no signing in. You know, if someone was in there spreading this virus, you'd have no way of working out who it was or how to trace them. And it's funny, at one stage, I got an email from the Premier's department asking me to chair and speak at a meeting on our contact tracing system because it was the best thing that they'd ever seen. And we had the DHHS contacts to say, we want to know more about you. I mean, people check in with their fobs and get all their details. But then they still said we're high risk. And I'm, you know, outspoken in some of these Zoom meetings we had with the chief health officer and all these people. And I'm like, well, where are you guys getting your numbers from and the stats from? Because it would appear that you're just fucking making it up. And, you know, you can't just say that gyms are high risk without telling me how are we high risk. There was a Zumba class in South Korea in April with 60 people packed into a tiny room and it spread. That's it in the whole world.
Mm.
I'm like, well, that doesn't even count because we weren't even social distancing in April yet. Anyway, go on. But look, when I guess the Credlin thing was a big game changer. And, you know, she contacted me after one of my videos went nuts and said like 100 people had sent it to her. And she said, look, you're passionate and articulate and I'd be honoured to have you on the show. And I think I made a choice early on, Craig, when I decided to take on this fight, that the best thing I could do was to be well-spoken, to be polite, to be articulate and be exactly what they didn't expect, because they thought I was just going to be this angry fucking gym owner, this, you know, thug kind of guy that was just going to scream and yell and rant. So instead I thought, you know what, I'm going to stick to the facts. I'm going to be word perfectly articulate. I'm going to make sure I speak well and make sense and not rant and rave. And most of all, not to talk about the economics of it, because every bastard was going, oh, my restaurant's gone broke, or retail, there's no tourism, all this shit.
Yeah.
Well, everyone was hurting financially, so there's no point in going down that angle. So I thought if I can raise the awareness of how important exercise in a gym environment is for people's mental health, and how important the community of a gym is for all the just the lost souls out there that may go fucking nuts without it, that would be a far better strategy than just, you know, ranting and raining and saying, I just want to, you know, punch the Premier or what. Because there's a lot of people just lost their shit. And I thought, yeah. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to be the one they have to listen to by presenting facts.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think, you know, when you come in there and you go, well, here's our information, here's our data, here's what's going on. 60 people in a room in Korea doing Zumba. And, of course, Doherty's is renowned for Zumba. fucking hell, really? But I think, look, I don't know this to be true, but I would think there's lots of people making decisions about what goes on in gyms that don't go to gyms.
Look, the thing is, Craig, it was never about Doherty's. It was about all the other operators that couldn't go to fucking work and all the members that, you know, weren't coping because they didn't have their community of the gym. It was always about that. And, you know, when I started having these meetings with the DHHS and the advisors for the Premier's department, because you're on the camera like this, none of them, trust me, have been to a gym before, or they were bullied at school, or, you know, maybe a muscular man had taking their girl off them or something. They had this thing that just didn't make, they just didn't get it. You know, it was very frustrating that they never stopped to think about, you know, what was the suicide rate at the same time as the COVID death rate. How many people, I'll give you an example. when they closed everything down and people couldn't meet in groups, you know, they stopped Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I had one member who'd been clean for 10 years. He'd been sober and he couldn't go to a meeting. So guess what he did?
Yeah.
Right. Dan Murphy's was open and he hasn't stopped since. Both hands.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard a lot of stories like that and I thought, you know, they did some things right, but they did a lot of stuff wrong because, yeah, towards the end, they'd say, oh, we're consulting with different industries to see how we can open safely. And by then I had all their phone numbers. They'd call up and go, no, you're fucking not. You're not consulting with us.
Yeah.
You know, because I know all the people that are claiming to represent our industry, and none of them have had a call. I haven't had a call. Mm. We've produced all this content at our own expense that you obviously look at because you include little snippets when it suits you, yet you're not consulting with us.
Mm.
And, yeah, it was a kind of steep learning curve, Craig, because I'm not used to dealing with fuckwits and bureaucrats and, you know, people that don't listen. Normally, if someone doesn't listen, you can grab them and shake it. And I had to...
I probably expected
it. Well, they did. So I had to be the opposite of that.
Yeah, nah. And what's the status quo at the moment with Doherty's people? If normal operating is 100%, what's the percentage at the moment in terms of members and attendance? And
well, the first 2 weeks, gyms were only allowed to have, this is more stupidity, 20 people, whether you were the size of Bunnings or the size of my boxing ring, you could have 20. So, you know, it worked out for us on an average of 4 people per warehouse.
Yeah.
4, you know. And in fact, when that happened, someone sent me a screenshot of somewhere, I think it was in Belmont near Geelong or whatever. It was, I don't know if it was a Spotlight or a Bunnings. It was one of those big sort of stores. And it said maximum capacity, 390.
Unbelievable.
With aisles. And we're only allowed to have 20. So it made no sense. But we didn't do a booking system because I don't just like doing what everyone else does. And I heard all this frustration of people saying that their membership payments have been switched back on, but then they couldn't book in because by 6 in the morning, all the bookings were taken. So you know, we're just open, first in, best dressed, form a queue out the front. And then what we do, we just take out free coffees and waters to the people waiting out the front all day long. And one night the queue never ended. So 4 in the morning, there was still a line out the front. But then 2 Mondays ago, they said you can have up to 150, which is pretty much our best day. We would have 150 in here. But what I found this time is that people have been a little bit slower getting back into not just gyms, but restaurants and all sorts of places. I think people just, because we had that first lockdown, obviously we didn't get it right. We went into the second lockdown. I think people are terrified that this could happen again. So I've noticed that it's been a slower burn for us. I mean, we're getting busier every day. You know, we're probably signing up 20 members a day or something, but people sort of in and out. They're probably not quite as sociable yet. And even me, when the restaurants and hospitality opened up 2 weeks before the gyms, I said, I'm right in the middle of the city. I'm like, oh, wow, I go and have a drink or I go and have a meal. And honestly, 2 times I got to the bottom of the elevator and went back up. And it was, you know, what the psychologist described as FOGO, fear of going out.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably one of the only cities in the world that's been through that. And I try and explain it to my interstate friends. They're like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, their footy grounds are full and their pubs are pumping and all this sort of thing. So it's been a hard one, Craig. But the next part of my mission, if you like, as a self-appointed doyen of the fitness industry, is to form a more official body to get shit done, and to now start working on all the ministers with union support and a whole lot of stuff that I've garnished during this to make sure we're an essential service. So that if, you know, it gets to say May or June and we get a cold snap and the community starts getting infected again, the gyms aren't the first fucking thing to close.
Yeah.
But even 2 weeks ago in South Australia when they had that little scare, before they shut the state down, the Premier, the night before he came, he said, gyms, trampolining centres and I think play centres close from midnight tonight. This is before he talked about, you know, all the other industries. And then they went into their hard lockdown, which I admired that they did it the way they did because he actually shut the bottle shops and everything. Did you see all the bogans over there loading up their utes with goons and all that fucking cheap long necks and stuff? It was hilarious. I'm like, bogan capital of the world. And they've just given them 18 hours notice that they're going to close bottle shops. They had those flat tray trucks with goon boxes, like 10 high.
And a big shout out to our Adelaide friends.
Yeah, love you all.
So what does that that body that you're kind of working on forming, how will that operate?
I can't say too much now because it's top secret.
All right.
It's not top secret. It's just, you know, Craig, I always play a long game and I think a long way ahead.
Yeah, no. That's
always try and be a strategist. And the strategy is to work out what we want exactly and then fucking go get it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop. You know, it's too important. And I think, you know, the fact that we are an essential service and way beyond, you know, because I think before this, a lot of people think, oh, you just go to the gym, you flex your muscles and you take selfies and have a perv or whatever. And they didn't realize that this is the actual thread that holds a lot of lives together.
And 100% did.
Absolutely fucked without it. You know, I saw, quick story, but I saw, you know, one kid that comes here, he's had schizophrenia all his life and his mum brought him here about eight years ago, something like that. And he was so medicated and so fat, and he was dribbling on himself and living with his mum at 30 and just a hell of a mess. And we managed to get his exercise just right to the point that they brought the level of medication down because the endorphins from the exercise kind of balanced it. And he did real well. He moved out. He got a flat. He got a job, I think, at Marvel Stadium or somewhere like that, you know, in ticketing or hospitality or something. So he had a purpose and everything else. And one day during the second lockdown, I heard a knock at the door and I went, it was him standing there literally dribbling on himself on so many meds that he didn't even know who I was.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, this is the bit they fucked up because people need exercise for a whole lot of different reasons. And some of it's just social shit. Oh, you can go to the park. Well, you know, we've got a girl with no arms and no legs. How's she going to go do push-ups in the park? And then we've got a guy, Vinny, who we've got a specialist therapist guy here, and he's taught him to walk again after being in a wheelchair for 6 years. And he just took his first steps right before we closed, back to square one, because gyms are, you know, high-risk environments. And I think that's probably what's driving me, Craig, is shit like that, because I just saw some good people go backwards, and it probably made me realise, you know, we've got a group of guys that come here every night. They got no mates, haven't got any family. Which is why I do our Lost Persons Christmas Day, because, you know, at the end of the day, the gym is the only community a lot of people have. And 100%. I don't think, unless you've been like you've been a gym rat all your life, unless you've been in our environment, and I'm talking about real gyms, not, you know, the big end fitness centers, because they probably don't experience this, but like gyms are life for people. It's all they've got. You know, they have a shitty day at work. They think, you know, when I get to the gym, everything's going to be okay. And I say this to my staff every time we have a staff meeting. I go, you're the luckiest people in the world because everyone looks forward to seeing you, even if they don't show it. Mm. You know, they might be getting bullied at work. They might have a crappy relationship. They might have a job that they hate. But, you know, they just say, it's okay, because when I get to the gym and I can lift some weights or punch a bag or just see that community, everything's going to be okay. You can't fucking take that away from people.
100%. I just, I found this the other day. This will interest you. So this is research from a place called Holt Lundstad that do research. They published research showing that people who had weaker social connections had a 50% increased likelihood of dying earlier than those with stronger ones, right? And so being disconnected the research showed that it posed a danger of comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So it's actually not having that social hub and that connection. And it's not about the gym versus the park. If that person goes to the park, they're by them fucking selves. Their mates are not there. TD's not there. That culture's not there. That camaraderie's not there. And when people only think that, well, the gym's about biceps and triceps and fucking abs, that means you don't go to a gym. That means you don't understand what it's about. You know, and it's, of course, it's a physiological thing, but probably for most people more than that, it's a stress management thing. It's an anxiety reducer. It's a sociological outlet. It's an emotional relief. It's like, it's so much more than about the body. And this is what, you know, I've been banging on about this for years. And the thing is about your mate that has schizophrenia or your member, you know, the thing is that when you're exercising, when you're lifting weights, you're actually creating biochemical change in your brain. You're producing dopamine, you're producing endorphins, you're producing serotonin, you're producing all this awesome shit that is healing, that helps him recover. You know, but when you say to someone, oh, go for a walk, it's the same. You're a fucking idiot because you don't understand what you're talking about. So asking it, rather than you, the politician, tell us how this works, why don't you consult with people who are actually experts, not in pandemics, but experts in this space here relative to the pandemic? Because even for me, and I'm like you, I'm reasonably resilient. I've got a good attitude. I'm the solution guy, but I didn't fucking love it. And I didn't have, every day wasn't a good day. And there were as many troughs as there were peaks.
Yeah.
And, you know, you still put on your fucking big boy pants and rock up and tell everybody it's all going to be all right.
Yeah.
But in the middle of that, I've been training nonstop since I was 14 years old. I'm like you. It's like fucking breathing. Hey, Harps, don't breathe for fucking 8 months.
Yeah, man. It was like, I think that was probably the most frustrating thing is that, you know, I finally got to that level where I could speak at these meetings with the top government officials and advisors and the head of the DHHS and the deputy chief health officer, all those people that normally wouldn't talk to a prick like me. I'm fine with that. But when I share what you just shared about community, about the importance of this and the endorphins, and not only that, the fact that it boosts your fucking immune system and fit people don't get sick, the obvious shit, and then for them to say, okay, well, send us all of this information you've got, write us up a COVID plan and we'll get back to you. This is when I started to lose my shit. They never got back to me. That fucking Alan Cheng, I sent him 10 emails saying, can you at least respond to the detailed plan that we presented to you? So instead they used quotes out of it for the media. They never responded to it to us once. And then, you know, I can't remember if it was the Neil Mitchell program or Tom Elliott or Credlin, one of them I was speaking to, they said, we'll give you his number, just text him. So then I started to text him. Right, and I won't say which source, but it was one of those. No reply.
Yeah.
So this was even more frustrating, Craig. The fact that I got a platform, got to share what I just shared with all you guys about the importance of all this, and then it's like, oh, they didn't respond to it, they didn't answer. Just to me, that was the worst. And then they'd come out and do these media conferences and premier come and say, we're consulting with these specific industries to understand their needs. No, you're fucking not. You gave us a half-hour Zoom meeting, and then put us in a fucking bin and welded the lid shut. Like, come on, you can't. It just made no. You know what I'm saying? It's like it was all about show for them. And okay, they gave us one meeting. If that's a consultation, well, fuck me.
I think that's called a PR exercise for them, mate. They want to be seen to be doing the right thing. Let's try and move on to something slightly.
Move on to something else.
Yeah, let's move on to something more positive. So, what if anything? Are you, forget business for a moment, but you said, you know, the thing that's kind of resonated for me, moving forward, is to be more grateful, to have more of an attitude of gratitude, for want of a less cheesy term. Are you going to be personally and professionally doing, irrespective of COVID, but just moving forward, are you going to do life different? Are you going to do Tony Doherty different? Are you going to do business different, if anything?
Probably not, man. I'm kind of living the dream, and you know, I've got a great life that I enjoy a lot. Probably when I say about taking things for granted, it's like seeing your loved ones. My mum's 80. I couldn't see her for, it was nearly 4 months, you know, and then if I've got the kids over to stay, they come every second weekend. I'm probably more in the moment with them and doing more fun things. And, you know, on a personal level, it makes me want to go to more wineries and go for more, you know, country road trips and just little things that you don't do it because it's always there. You know what I mean? It's like the motorbike you don't ride or the push bike you never got on. So I think the fact that we can't do international travel has probably made me think, all right, well, every spare minute, every time I've got a chance, I'm going to go see something I haven't seen or do something I haven't done. As far as business goes, I think it's made us realise that you've got to be very adaptable very quick because, you know, I thought I had a pretty good business. We're finally, you know, after 20 years of being broke, we're finally just starting to get on top of it with the gyms and the memberships. It was just going nicely. And then, you know, to lose obviously all the money with the Arnold and have all the gyms shut and have no income, it's made me reassess, I guess, my capability of doing shit. So, you know, I'm going to get back doing the relentless momentum talks again, because there's a great need for that at the moment. And I probably parked that because I took it for granted. I haven't trained people in about 7 years. I've started just doing 2-hour PT sessions in the gym and been booked out just about every day. And that's good to give back. And you know, you don't do stuff like that because you think, oh, yeah, but I'm so busy being a businessman that I kind of, you know, you forget the stuff that actually made you that. Yeah. And then in doing the event center that I talked to you about next door, that's kind of changed direction a lot, because it's going to be the anti-gym. It's got nothing to do with the gym.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I'm going to put in a cocktail bar and a piano and some really cool shit, have it available for education and parties and product launches, and just a fucking crazy room for hire. So, you know, it's a Brooklyn-style warehouse with polished concrete and exposed brick and plywood roofs, and just some really cool shit in there. So I've got like a very expensive chopper on a 6-foot pedestal next to a baby grand piano.
Yeah, cool.
No one else would do that. What's the context? There's no context. The context is contrast. Yeah, and then there'll be like a flower wall there. So you might have all the guests that you've had on the U project come in just to say thanks and have a drink. So then you can put your logo up on the wall and do your selfies. And, you know, whatever it may be, might be someone launching a vodka or a gin or a hair care product or whatever that just wants a fucking cool space to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm putting a bit of energy into that. It doesn't have to work, but it's a good little side hustle, you know, because who knows what's going to happen. And I just hope that we can keep our numbers down. If we've got to do this vaccine, get it right, and that we never go through a year like this again.
I was thinking a couple of things. One, by the way, anyone, if you want to invest the best $500 ever, get 2 hours with TD, because that might seem like a bit of money, and it is a bit of money, but it depends on what you're paying for. I when I saw you were charging $250 an hour, I'm like, that is fucking great value. I might book in. Yeah. That is actually, you know, compared to the average trainer, that's expensive. But like, and I'm not pissing in Tony's pocket, but you're training with somebody who is in rare air in terms of, if you want to learn how to train properly, you want to get strong, you want to get functional, and you want to train or be coached or taught by one of the best literally in the world, then seek him out. The one thing I was going to, and I mean that genuinely, another thing I was going to ask you was, in relation to you doing some work with people, what if somebody's in fucking Auckland? Can they do a 2-hour Zoom with you?
Well, probably. I mean, it depends what they want. If it's mind and muscle sort of training stuff, it might be sort of hard without me having to get like a film crew in to demonstrate, because I'm all about, you know, posture, and I've got an ability to look at someone from 50 metres away and go, fuck, his chin's down too low, or his shoulders aren't back, or he's not sticking his chest out.
Yeah.
But what's been funny, some of the clients I've had have just wanted a mentoring session. I had a bloke in yesterday for a couple of hours, and he said, oh, can we just have a chat? We'll plan what we're going to do. He just needs someone to talk to and to, you know, like a little bit of a mentor stuff. So some of it's that. And it's not that it's $250 an hour. It's $500 a session.
Right.
And sometimes sessions only go for an hour, hour and a half, two. I just don't put a limit on it. I'm like, right. You know, I had one guy the other day. He was that fucking cooked. He couldn't lift his arms up after an hour and 20 or an hour and 30. I go, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
Just kill another half an hour. We'll just sit and have a coffee.
Nonetheless.
So part of it's like a little coffee therapy. And I'm probably going to make myself available for, you know, maybe start a mentoring group or do some one-on-one stuff with people. So I can help a little bit, like my idol up there, you. It's taught me a lot about, you know, the worth of that and using, you know, the gift of speech to fucking help people through their shit. And you've always encouraged me to do that. And I think it's probably something I've thought more about during this time out, to stop and think, okay, well, you can't just be the gym guy because that could get taken away. Or I can't just be the expo guy because they can fucking cancel them without 100%. Any notice whatsoever. So, you know, I think it's made us all just stop and think, okay, there's got to be some other kind of sideways strategies going on. Does that make sense?
100%. As you're talking, and this is probably an off-air chat, but fuck it, let's have it on air and we'll do more off-air. But just to give you some insights, so I used to do, as you know, lots of one-on-one, and I got to the point where with all my other shit, I can't really do too much. And so I went, well, let's do some mentoring groups. So Melissa and I rented a space a few years ago, which is a little we turned it into a 40-seat lecture theatre with fancy glass whiteboards, giant TV, all that shit. You'd love it.
Yep.
And then COVID came and it's like, well, you can't do that, Harps, because you can't have people in a room. And Melissa, because she's younger and smarter than me, said, well, listen, you old fucker, why don't we do the same thing online? I'm like, well, who's going to come to that? And our first mentoring group, we had 330 people booked in.
Wow.
330 people booked in. And because, well, one, you don't have to drive anywhere. Two, you don't have to find a park. Three, there's no wasted time because it starts at 8. You click on it 1 minute to 8. You're done at 9:30 and you're fucking home at 9:31 or you're already home.
Yeah.
And we had an amazing uptake, mate. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm just talking about shit. So you and I are definitely going to have a talk, and you and Melissa and I, because hands down, you can do some online mentoring groups around everything, around mindset training, around business. Because you, I think, I mean, I know you know, but I don't think you fully know the extent of your potential in this space, because you have such, like, you've done shit that nobody else has done, you know, in that you, that of course they've done it now, but you did it when no one was doing it. You were the 24-hour gym guy. You were the guy that hustled and grinded and fucking did all that shit and built vast knowledge and skill and awareness and understanding through being at the coalface of bullshit that most people would avoid because it's so fucking hard. But in the middle of all that, you built this incredible brand and this incredible culture, but also you became this quite, and I'm not pissing in your pocket because you know I love you, but you built this amazing fucking skill set that nobody else has got uniquely except you. Other people have got similar skills, but nobody's done the Tony Doherty journey. And I would fucking pay to sit and listen to you. And I know you'd do the same for me, but fortunately we don't charge each other. But mate, if you couldn't run a mentoring group, so when we finish this, and maybe we'll have a meeting in the next week or two if you want, but 100% you could do that shit. Mate,
I'd really appreciate that. I remember when I came to you and said I was thinking about doing these relentless momentum seminars and how much I was going to charge, and you're like, yeah, man, you'll sell out. And of course I put it online, sold out.
Yeah.
And then I got busy traveling, you know, I became partners with Arnold and started going to, you know, 10 countries a year and being on the road all the time. As you said, you get too busy to do the stuff that you used to do. Yeah. And then you have this moment and you're like, where was I?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm not bad at that, and I really enjoy it. And, you know, I've had a lot of experiences, I guess, through that travel and, you know, the media work and different shit I've been doing. That's a whole new story to tell.
Yeah.
You know, so I really appreciate your encouragement with that, mate. And I'd love to pick your brain and with Melissa in the room, because you get the action happening.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just the ideas person. She knows how to make it into an actual thing. Yeah. I have all these ideas and she goes, no, you can't do that. Oh, I go, what can I do? She goes, you could do it this way. I'm like, oh, okay, let's do that. Right. My mandate to Melissa when she started working with me is all I want to do is write stuff and talk to people. So I'm writing or talking or teaching or coaching. Everything else you're doing. So the marketing, the web design, the venue booking, the fucking liaising with clients, with companies, you know, and I think, I know you've got a team of people around you as well. So I just think for you, it's a no-brainer. We've got to wind up because we've got someone soon, but so if you want to share, I don't know.
Once again, we went over time.
Nah, it's all good. Fuck, of course we did. You and I could talk underwater. So I thought doing 30 minutes with Tony Doherty is going to be like fucking me just eating one chicken breast. It's not going to happen. How do we have a better 2021? I know there's no set plan, but for people who have had a bit of a shit year this year, mate, be that mentally, emotionally, financially, with their training, any gold that you want to share with people moving forward?
You've just got to see some light. You just got to know things can only get better. Yeah, if you got through this, you can get through fucking anything. You know, people will be talking about this in 20, 50, 100 years' time. Yeah. And I think, you know, I had some days where I thought, oh, fuck, this is hard. And I thought about, you know, my grandparents. I remember my dad saying the first time he saw his dad, he was getting off a train in 1945, coming home from the war, all mangled with a duffel bag and some, you know, some bad memories and some stuff. And I thought, shit, they went through two world wars and a famine. And a fucking depression. and they never had, you know, electricity, let alone fucking, you know, Wi-Fi and mobile phones, all these fucking apps to make your life easier. So I think my advice was get some fucking perspective, harden up and think, we're not, this is not the worst thing that's ever happened in the world.
Yeah.
This is just a pause, you know, and if you can actually stop and think about what you learned during this pause, you're going to be a lot fucking better at what you do in 2021. I know I'm going to be, and that's also a choice. Like I said in one of my posts early on in this pandemic, I said, this will either destroy you or define you. Make a fucking choice. Which one are you going to be?
Yeah.
You're going to be that pathetic fucking loser that just says, poor me, poor me. Or you're going to get on with it. So you got a choice now. New Year's a great thing because it's always a time for a reset. And I think this year more than ever, and you know, things might get worse again. Okay. Bring it on. I said that at some stage through this. I said, you know, really? You people are starting to give up. I'm just getting fucking warmed up. What else you got? Throw it all at us. We're so much stronger than what we know.
Mm.
And I think we've just become, you know, wrapped in cotton wool and softened, and everybody's, you know, no one wants to get offended and everyone's worried. Fuck all that. Come on. I think we've got a great chance to reset, to be better in business, better in more important things, better in family, better in friendships, better in gratitude. And it sounds cheesy as fuck, but it's true, because we were all just turning into shit. I can't say the C-bomb on this, can I? We're just talking into those sort of people that, you know, I think we all become a little entitled, Craig, you know, and it's easy for old buggers like us to look at the younger generation, go, oh, they're so entitled. But we're no fucking better.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we'd all just fallen into that little trap. So that's the message, and that's the thing. Find the light. You know, 2021 is going to be awesome, but only if you choose it to be.
100%.
We're all in this together, and we're all here for each other. And, yeah, that's probably the good thing to come out of it. People probably became closer. People probably contacted each other and expressed themselves a bit better and say, hey, man, you know, I miss you. I love you, you know. Mm. I had blokes ringing me up giving me pledges of love that I haven't spoken to in ages. Bro, you know, I've just had time to think how much you've helped me over the years, or you were here for me when I went through this or that, you know? So I think, you know, whatever happens, and I just got to fucking learn from it. So let's learn from this and let's be better at our shit.
Yeah. Mate, it's been great. Fucking hell, you make me laugh. There is no realer person. There's no more authentic person that comes on this show ever. And that's not to say other people are inauthentic or on the show, but fucking hell, you make me laugh.
Keeping it real, baby.
And by the way, everyone, this is the restrained version.
Yeah.
This is the politically correct one. No, not really. Mate, we love you. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Just tell people if they want to connect with you, what's the best way to go about that?
Go to Instagram, Tony Doherty Oz, O-Z.
Perfect.
That's the easier way. Don't send me messages on Facebook either. I fucking hate that messenger. I don't know why. It makes me cringe. Yeah. Text me or hit me on Insta. But look, I'm here for you all, seriously. If someone needs a chop out or a hand or just someone to talk to, and I know Harps is the same. And, you know, just thanks for having me on the show through the year. I know we had a couple of really great episodes that I got so much good feedback on, and just keep doing you, man. You won a million, and your assistant down there is the best thing that ever happened to you.
I'm the assistant. She's the fucking boss. Don't confuse all that, right, son. All jeepers. Right. Mate, I appreciate it. Stay there. Melissa, anything else?
Nothing from me.
Thanks, everyone. Love your guts.